You are listening to...
I got my two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ear.
The Man Cave Podcast.
I'm a man! I love me!
With Jeremy Lambert.
Can't wait!
Yes, we're in the Man Cave. Joining me today, a menage pod, a triple threat pod, just like Gegard Mousasi, Vanderlei Silva, and Alexander Gustafsson. Sam Mercady, Larry Zonka. What's going on, gentlemen?
I was just waiting for the boss to answer first. But given that he's lost his voice, I'll just, out of courtesy, I was going to let Larry go first. But I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I can't complain other than the fact that I'm slowly getting my voice back. Other than that, we're pretty good. I'm preparing for the weekend of hell with 8 million shows.
How many are you recapping?
I don't know how many shows I'm actually recapping. Like, I'm going to do my tirade on Mania, and I'm going to do one on the taped TNA pay-per-view that airs on Friday.
That should suck.
Actually, it's an X Division pay-per-view, so it might be good. There's no storylines. It's just matches. It's to fulfill all the pay-per-view obligations since they cut back.
Does the X Division still exist?
Kind of, but the thing is, again, this is a pay-per-view that has no angles on it, and there's actually some good matches on it. I'll tell you what's on this show.
Okay. Like, is AJ and Daniels and Joe... That was for these X-Division pay-per-views. They're like, let's just throw these three guys out there for a triple threat.
No, okay, we have...
Everyone will love that.
We have Samoa Joe versus Austin Aries.
I like that.
They TNA, before RVD's contract ran out, they brought back Jerry Lynn to do one last match with them since Lynn's retiring. That's so I'm okay with that. Daniels and Kazarian versus Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams. That's good stuff. Ultimate X, Mason Andrews, Rubix, who is Jigsaw and Chikara, Zema Ion and Kenny King. That'll be okay. They have like a 6-man escape match and some shit. But Lynn and RVD, Joe and Aries and the tag match. That's good enough. It's only $15. So
no, AJ Styles is disappointing.
Well, they couldn't have him on the taped pay-per-views because of the angle they're running.
Oh, see, I don't watch TNA anymore, so I wouldn't know what angle they're running.
It's actually been, their program's been a hell of a lot better than WWE the last 3 weeks.
Well, that doesn't, good segue, Larry. That doesn't take too much because, which is kind of shocking. I think you mentioned this in the latest Tremendous Tirades, or maybe all of them, since it all seems to run the same nowadays. Everyone mentions that WWE is usually firing on all cylinders heading to WrestleMania. This WrestleMania build has just been slow, kind of boring, kind of uneventful. I give them credit with the top three matches. They haven't had any of these guys actually participate in a wrestling match. So when they actually do wrestle on Sunday, it'll feel special. At least on, you know, free TV and whatnot. I know Rock and Cena wrestled pay-per-views this year and Punk. But so at least that's good. Otherwise, though, it's just been a lot of talking, and some of it hasn't even been great talking. It is what it is. It's WrestleMania. It's going to be huge. I'm still looking forward to it. I guess we should go ahead and talk about Rock and Cena. Twice in a lifetime now. They did it last year. The Rock won last year. He's now the heavyweight champion, or the WWE champion, I'm sorry. John Cena gets his rematch. He won the Royal Rumble, and then he beat CM Punk with still the title shot on the line. What are you guys feeling heading into this thing? I'll start with you, Sammer.
Honestly, I actually like the build up this year better than last year, just in terms of them being a bit serious with their promos. I thought last year the build up was kind of disappointing when you factor in the two guys who are concerned, probably, you know, two biggest stars in recent memory with, you know, Steve Austin. So last year I thought it was flat, the whole Rock concert thing and the Cena rap battles and whatever. It was just too much. I feel this year they've done more with less. They kept the promo serious. I actually think John Cena cuts a hell of a promo when he's serious, once he ditches all the comedy bullshit, which I don't necessarily think he's particularly good at.
I don't think anybody thinks he's good at this comedy bullshit.
Well,
except for the WWE writers, apparently.
Right. Well, yeah. Because they do love their comedy. I mean, this has been pretty much the case for, like, what, 10 years now, at least. Probably more. While the Rock, I mean, I'm a huge Rock fan. I'll just shamelessly admit I'm a huge Rock mark. And when he was back, I was thrilled. But, and I've tried to keep up. For those who don't know, I don't really watch wrestling on a regular basis anymore. But I've tried to keep up with everything Rock related, and I don't think, you know, and this is not surprising by any means, but I don't think he's as consistent with his promos. He's, which is to be expected. But every now and then, you know, when he needs to get the job done, he still needs to get the job done. I was quite disappointed actually with his go home promo for WrestleMania. Thought it ran too long, dragged, didn't really serve its purpose. By contrast, I thought Cena's was actually quite good. You know, they've kept them away from each other as far as physical confrontation is concerned, with the exception of The Rock nailing a few rock bottoms every now and then. I feel, you know, for something, when you consider, again, the two parties involved and the fact that this feud has been going on for like 2 years now, actually. I mean, The Rock was back in 2011. I think, you know, not too long after that, he and Cena agreed to fight at WrestleMania the next year, right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been, I mean, it's a feud that's been happening for 2 years. And given that, you know, The Rock is only a part, you know, they're part-time, it should feel fresh every time they square off as far as promos are concerned and everything. Yet it doesn't, for whatever reason, to me at least. As far as the match was concerned last year, I thought it was good. I didn't, you know, they were shooting for an epic. It wasn't quite that, but it was good. I feel The Rock is a bit off in his matches since returning. I was quite disappointed in his efforts against Punk. I expected better, really. I mean, again, it's not like it's super disappointing. The guy was out for a while and everything. And even under normal circumstances, like you know, he's no Bret Hart or anything, but he can put on a good match. I just don't think his ring work has been great or anything. It's been solid. It's been there. But, you know, WrestleMania needs to be more than that, I think. I thought last year the crowd made it. I'm sure the crowd will be equally as hot. Well, maybe that's the thing. Not equally as that. I'm sure it will be hot this year. But with this, you know, last year had the addition of the Miami crowd, which really made the match. If you isolate that kind of, which, I mean, I know it's silly to say for a wrestling match, but if you isolate the crowd, I feel, you know, it was just, you know, one spot, you do your big move, I do my big move, and that's that. I thought what really worked, other than the crowd last year, was the result was a surprise. I think most of us felt Cena would win. The near finish at the end when Cena caught him after Rock just go for that crossbody really worked well. I thought, you know, Cena had him. And one thing, though, I'll say this for their feud. Ever since last year, I think Cena, through his attitude, has done a good job at making it seem like, you know, this loss had left a scar. He's done a good job at making it sound like, you know, he had a hard time recovering from it. Like, I mean, they've overplayed the whole, like, oh, he was on a downward spiral thing, considering all the superhuman comebacks he's made and all
he
the other matches
Brock
he's
Lesnar
won
a month later, right, after losing, right, to The Rock.
So yeah, exactly. So they kind of exaggerated that, but at least through his promos, I think he did a good job. And I bought it when he said that this was, you know, he sort of implied that this was the only blemish in his career or whatever. I mean, whether that's true or not, it's wrestling. Nobody's actually keeping up. But I can buy it when he talks about, you know, how disappointing it was and everything. And the shot at redemption would make sense. But again, my main disappointment here is just that it's Rock and Cena. You really expect some electricity. And while they do have chemistry, and it's no Austin and Rock chemistry, but they do have chemistry, it's just, I felt it never really kicked into, like, you know, the highest possible gear, which is what you'd expect from these two. So that's my main issue. Should we hand out prediction? I don't know how this works.
How about you let me run this show, Samer?
Yeah, I, that's why I'm asking.
Go ahead, Larry. What are your thoughts on the feud and the build-up so far?
I pretty much agree with a lot of what Samer was saying. It's, The redemption story thing is fine, except for the fact that what you brought up, he beat Brock Lesnar a month later, which I said at the time was a mistake, and it still comes off as a mistake. The other problem is the redemption story is okay, but like they're going a little too far when John Cena is like, you know, I have to win the big one. Dude, I think you've been champion like 12 fucking times. You've won the big one. Center it more on Rock. Don't make it like the big one thing because
titles don't mean shit.
Well, the way they book them, they don't. That's for fucking sure. Ask Antonio Cesaro.
Although the title's on the line in this match. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. So, but generally, it's like that stuff annoys me. I got some shit Monday night because, God forbid, I liked John Cena's promo like Samir did. And I pissed off everybody because I wrote about Rock's promo and I wrote put a stamp on it that was mailed in. Because when The Rock came back, everybody wants to hear The Rock play the hits. It's like when you go see a fucking band, you know, whoever it is. If you're paying to see The Stones in 2013, you're not going to hear new material. You're going to hear the hits, okay? So when The Rock came back, you want to hear all the hits, all the shit that The Rock does. But to a point, it seems like that's all he's doing. We get all this bullshit story time and buying cars from a crackhead and Monday night joking about being fucking president. It took them 10 minutes to get to the Cena feud. And I think that's actually more, that's because of the 3-hour format. Because Cena's promo was good, but it also felt a little long. That's because they have to fucking fill 3 hours every week, which, again, I've always had a problem with. It's okay every once in a while, but as a weekly format, it is fucking draining on the viewer. If I didn't have to review this show, I would fucking DVR it and watch it the next day. There's no way I would watch it live. So the build's been fine. The match, I think the match will probably be good, being that it'll be a New York crowd. They will be shitting all over John Cena. So the crowd's going to be into it. It'll be interesting. They may even shit on The Rock to a point, too, just because it's New York. Who the hell knows? But the crowd will make it interesting, and I'm sure it'll be pretty good. I just don't think it's going to get great because last year was good. Rock's efforts with Punk were good, but they weren't great. So I don't – unless – something changes. I don't, you know, I might be wrong, but I just don't see it being great.
I'm pretty much in agreeance with both of you. You mentioned The Rock playing the hits. He didn't even play the hits on Monday. He talked about the gold belt and he's going to set it on fire. He didn't even turn the sumbitch sideways. He was just going to stick it straight up John Cena's candy ass. So what I guess he just eliminated that step. He's too big to turn shit sideways nowadays. As far as Cena's promo, that comedy was brutal, but I wrote this, or I tweeted this, like the first week that they went one-on-one talking-wise is, you know, John Cena took that loss personally, and it seemed like The Rock took the mic work last year personally, because I thought that John Cena outworked The Rock on the mic last year, and I thought Rock was at the top of his game on the mic to start the promo or to start this feud. And since then he's kind of slipped. I think Cena's done really well. I didn't like the whole 5 questions with WWE legends. I thought that shit, it honestly sounded like a Tony Romo press conference where they said the same shit to every single question. It was like, why do you need to win?
We need to execute. We need to work as a team.
You know, what makes this so important? It was the same answer to every single question. It was just, it sucked. I didn't like that. I didn't even like when Rock hit the rock bottom. I thought that made Cena look kind of like a bitch. Otherwise, I'm pretty much with you guys. It feels fine. It doesn't feel WrestleMania special. And as far as the match is concerned, I don't think it's going to be as good as last year. Everybody shits on John Cena with his mic or with his ring work. He steps it up when he needs to. He usually has a good wrestling or a good WrestleMania match. He usually has good matches when he's put in the position to do so. And obviously with The Rock at WrestleMania, he's going to be put in that position. I'm with Sammer. I thought the Rumble match with Punk was good. I thought the Elimination Chamber match was pretty weak. So I don't have too high of hopes for this match. I do think the crowd will make it, and I'm with you, Larry. I think the crowd could just really turn on both guys at one point. And if they do, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. And like I said, I mean, and this isn't like I wrote in my review thing. I'm not trying to be like too cool for school. I like when John Cena has the serious edge and stuff. And I more than agree with you on the fact that in big matches, the guy steps up. It's just, he might step it up. I don't know how much The Rock has. I mean, the guy fucking looks great, you know, and everything, and he still cuts a promo. But I mean, I think that he's right around 40. I mean, there's only so much you're gonna do. So
he blew up last year, right? Didn't he blow up in their match last year? Kind of tired towards the end.
He did get tired, and that's because he's so fucking big, though, dude. I mean, it's just like. You know, you see those MMA guys, and they're all fucking yoked, and you're like, yeah, give him 2 minutes, and he's done. All those muscles, man.
He blew up even more this year. He did Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg. That's nothing but muscle.
Yep.
The Rock could fit into the UFC heavyweight division.
He'd be one of the men who are in better shape, actually, in the UFC heavyweight division.
Prediction-wise, Samer, who do you have winning?
I think obviously, I mean, I don't want to say obviously and look like an idiot, but I think, I mean, Cena has to win this one, doesn't he? I mean, I just don't see the point of having him, you know, lose twice to The Rock in the successive years. I don't think it would lead anywhere, really, unless it's a huge, I mean, I've read, talks of a Cena heel turn, but I think a lot of that was alluding to him turning heel during the match with The Rock at WrestleMania, referencing the whole Austin thing back at WrestleMania 17. Although, I mean, the only way I could see The Rock winning is if they would set up a Cena heel turn after the match where, you know, he goes away for like, I don't know, a week because the UFC, the WWE can't do, you know, without him for longer than that. And he comes back all pissed off or whatever. But, I mean, even that seems far-fetched to me. I think Cena wins, really.
Larry?
Yeah, I think Cena wins. And, you know, I mean, I know everybody likes to downplay the heel turn talk because they think they'll never turn him heel, and I generally do agree with that. And it has nothing to do with programming. It's just the fact that John Cena is so much more than just, like, the guy on TV. I mean, you look at all the Make-A-Wish work he does and everything, and that's the big reason I think that they won't do it. Because he'll still sell merchandise as a heel. I don't worry about that. But, like, the whole persona he has built with doing over 300 Make-A-Wishes and stuff, to me, that's, like, the big thing that, like, they're not going to do it. But someone asked me, they're like, if you're going to turn him heel, how do you do it? And obviously, this match with The Rock, they've dropped hints and they've done it on purpose. And I think that they've done that to get people like, you know, people like us and like internet fans to talk about it and to be interested in the match even more. They're trying to play all angles because obviously The Rock caters to the regular fan. And now they're like, okay, what do we do? We got to get some more, you know, let's drop some lines. Let's have Cena do the I have to beat you thing and make people think about WrestleMania 17. But someone asked me how I'd do it, and I honestly think if you were to do it, the best thing to do, because then it gets other guys over too, is you involve the Shield. You know, Rock's about the win, Shield comes out, they hit the ring, Cena and Rock go back-to-back like they're going to fight them off because this is about them. And then, you know, basically Cena gets to lay him out, he wins. And then the whole Shield's justice bullshit can be, you know, The Rock's not a wrestler anymore. He turned his back on us. They could do it. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying that's how I would do it. So, but yeah, I see John Cena winning, and I hope it's good.
I think Cena wins as well. You both brought up the heel talk. I think if it's going to happen, this is obviously the time to do it.
Yeah.
Larry, you mentioned that they can't do it, or you think they'd be gun-shy about doing it because of, you know, all the charity work and stuff he does not on television. It's kind of tough to have a bad guy still do all that stuff. I don't think they could do it because who the fuck do they have as a face besides John Cena that anyone cares about?
There is that. That's, like, the other main point. But I think that, you know, WWE is so much about building up this image of not being a wrestling company. You know, that's the only reason they keep the film division around. That's why they do all this Make-A-Wish. That's why they buy tout. You know, they want everybody to think that they're more than a wrestling company. So.
Yeah, I don't think
there is nobody.
I mean, I know John Cena being a heel would be something fresh and new, but who is this guy going to combat? Like Alberto Del Rio? Then Cena's going to win the title. Well, he's already going to have the Rock's title. I guess they could unify it that way, but who's this guy going to feud with? Ryback, I guess, is about the only potential feud he has, because there's just, they don't have any faces in this company right now worth a damn besides John Cena. So I think that's why they can't turn him heel until they build somebody else up. I'm with both of you on Cena winning. I just don't see the point of having The Rock win twice. It's like, what are you doing that for? I think you have Cena win, and then you have it 1-1 and it's never settled, which I don't think they're going to be able to do. Or you have the rubber match either at SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania, and we'll see what happens. But we're all in agreement. It sounds like Cena wins probably clean. I don't think The Rock taps. I think Cena beats him with a FU.
Yeah, no. You don't have The Rock tap. No. That would be stupid.
Plus, wow. Isn't The Rock the champion? And he's there's no way he's gonna. There's no way they're gonna keep the title around him while he's only there part time. I mean, I know he could drop it to somebody else, but then that'd be kind of weak. And isn't there talk that CM Punk is gonna take some time off post WrestleMania as well? So Obviously Cena's gonna be there in full effect. So I think it would make sense to just to put the title around him, at least from the WWE's perspective.
Yeah, that's why I think, as you said, Samer, you don't want to go out and say, obviously Cena's going to win, but I feel like there's like a 95% chance that Cena's winning this match.
Never bet against The Rock.
Never bet it. Sure. Other big match, The Undertaker against CM Punk. The Undertaker's back. There was a lot of rumors and stuff that he wasn't going to be ready for this WrestleMania. I mean, they held him off until the last... really the last possible Raw that he could be at to confirm that he was going to wrestle at WrestleMania. And once he showed up, pretty much everyone knew it was going to be CM Punk. And later that night, of course, CM Punk won the four-way to get the match with The Undertaker. The build-up to this has been strange, I think. I liked it at first with the whole Paul Bearer thing where Undertaker wants to pay tribute and then Punk comes out and kind of, you know, he steals the urn and everything. And then they maybe dragged it on too much. And I feel like if Paul Bearer doesn't pass away at the time he passes away, what do they exactly do with this feud? It seems like they're just resting on that one thing and they're thankful that it happened, because if it didn't, I don't
thankful
know where they
the
went.
Word, by the way. Come on now.
What?
Thankful is not the word. The
well, not
died.
Thankful. I know. You're right.
No, I'm just busting your balls.
No. Well, it was poor word choice by me. But both of you understand what I meant, is that they're obviously...
No. I completely agree. I was actually thinking the same thing. Like, what was their original plan before that happened?
Yeah. I don't know what they were going to do. So I guess they kind of lucked into this, even though... I'm going to shut up about talking and get myself into more trouble. Go ahead, Samer. Your thoughts on this feud?
No, yeah, they were pretty lucky and thankful that a guy just passed away. Absolutely. I mean,
shut up.
You know what? I'm going to try to make you look better by using even poor words. Like, I think Vince must be thrilled that Paul Bearer died. No, guy, I'll be serious. I honestly thought it fell very flat. Initially... I'm not even – see, that's the thing. From the beginning, when I heard that, you know, the plans about Undertaker and CM Punk, I was pretty excited. You know, Undertaker, as old as he is and out of shape as he is, he delivers at WrestleMania. That's – I mean, at least in recent years, you know, quite ironically, his first few matches there were quite awful. But ever since the turn of the century, actually, he's always delivered there. And I have no doubt that they probably will put on a good match. And, you know, he's in there with somebody who's also – delivered quite consistently. But first of all, I quite didn't know how I felt about the four-way thing to begin with. But I mean,
that felt stupid. I want to mention this right fast. Is when the four-way came out and Big Show's like, I wrestled The Undertaker, but I didn't have one thing. And he points to his fist like, dude, you didn't have your fist when you wrestled him the first time?
I wrote that in my recap. I said, the Big Show comes out. He says, when he lost The Undertaker, he didn't have one thing. I said, apparently the Big Show didn't have a right arm when he faced The Undertaker the first time.
It's so stupid. But I mean, I think everyone knew CM Punk was winning that match. But go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
I mean, no, absolutely. The thing is, I understand. They want to make the streak look like a big deal. And I'll say this for WWE. They have managed to turn it into a big deal. Every year, the build-up of WrestleMania, we expect, talk about, championship matches and the streak. That much is almost a given. And it is a huge deal. Though I think, at this point, we realize it's probably never going to end. And I'm fine with that, really. So, if you want to make it sound important or seem, even more important to have guys compete for the right to take on The Undertaker, that's fine. I mean, I wasn't crazy on it or anything, but that's fine. The first week they did the Paul Bearer stuff, fine. It made sense. Paul Bearer had just passed away maybe a day or two in advance or whatever, maybe more, but it wasn't anything significant. And it was still fresh. The Undertaker was paying his tributes also, makes sense. CM Punk comes out and acts like a dick. It was. I think they for once they managed to run that fine line between controversy and being just tasteless. I don't think they went anything over the top. It was fine, I think. But after that, it's not that it turned tasteless or anything. It's just I wasn't offended. I found it a bit of an overkill. I think I was like, because here's the thing: it's CM Punk and The Undertaker. These guys are both good enough, both inside and outside the ring. They can carry the feud on their own. You don't have to interject a third party into it. Even, Paul Bearer, God rest his soul and everything. But I don't think they need Paul Bearer. And even if they wanted to make ways to turn this into personal and The Undertaker is pissed and everything, I'm sure CM Punk could have found other ways to piss off The Undertaker. Do this once and it's fine, but make this the focal point of the angle I felt was unnecessary. It reminds me, this isn't the best analogy, but remember before WrestleMania 17 when before The Rock and Austin fought initially, Debra became Rock's manager and Kurt Angle would come in, put her in an ankle lock, and Austin would get pissed that Rock can't protect Austin's wife and Rock wants Austin to protect his own wife. And then like midway through that, WWE realized like, you know what, these guys are good enough to carry the feud without this bullshit, and they just ditched it.
Bullshit, but the one great thing that provided was the fact that every time something would happen, one of those guys would slip in the ring and tease nail on each other with their finish.
Yeah, that was awesome, actually.
That was like the only good thing about the Debra thing, but I generally totally agree with what you're saying. That was like, you look back on that and you're like, well, you can go back and watch the awesome My Way video package, which is the only time you'll hear me utter Limp Bizkit being awesome. But you go back and you watch that video package and you're like, this is awesome. And then it cuts the music and you hear Vince go, and The Rock's manager will be Debra. And you're like, why the fuck did they do that?
Yeah,
you're like, man, I remember this match and everything's so awesome, but then you're like, I blocked that shit out. What the fuck? That's horrible.
I posted that video after The Rock and Cena. I think after their five question bullshit.
Yeah, you said that they should just redo that video.
Yeah, and when I rewatched the video, I was like, yeah, this is good because I remember it, and then I completely forgot about the Debra stuff, and I was like, wait, this sucked, and it ruins the video too. I was like, no, I just want they matched up the lyrics and the beat with the action so perfectly.
The stunner with the lyrics, that's probably the best package they fit together.
That is like my favorite video package of all time.
It still gives me chills 12 years later, I have to say. Which is why the whole Debra thing is even like, it makes it even stranger. It's like it's really the elephant in the room. It's like, what the hell are you doing here? No, we don't want. Can they re-edit this even 12 years later just completely blog it? Treat it like I was gonna say treat it like Benoit. I'm trying to outdo Jeremy here, but like just block it out of our memory. Poor, very, very poor analogy, I admit. But now you know what I'm saying, obviously. So to get back to Undertaker and CM Punk here, that's not quite as bad. This feels a tad more relevant, but still, I mean, and obviously CM Punk and Undertaker, we don't know that they would have this kind of chemistry that Rock and Austin did. And plus, Rock and Austin were more versatile. There were a shit ton of other stuff they could have done. But still, I'm sure there was something else to do. Hell, you know, Jeremy and I were just talking about this. I mean, had Paul Bearer not passed away, there would have been something else to do. And I mean, it felt just weird. I want to see CM Punk wrestle The Undertaker. I really do. And I'm glad they're doing this. It's just that I don't want this to be about Paul Bearer somehow. It just, I don't want to say uncomfortable watching it, not because the guy is dead and they're not really honoring his memory or anything. I was just uncomfortable because it was just unnecessary, I think. It was like, no, I don't want this to be happening. Just do something else, whatever. Just have CM Punk act like a dick without really just trying to taunt The Undertaker and taking it over the top and trying to outdo himself week after week. It's just that last bit this past week, I really didn't like it at all. Keep in mind that this was the last Raw segment before WrestleMania, and this was supposed to be something epic. This was supposed to be the hard sell for the pay-per-view, and to me, it felt very, very, very flat. It really didn't want to make me see that match that much more, which is a shame, I think. Like, at this point, I think this match is just merely going by on the fact that it's CM Punk and The Undertaker, more so than the build-up. It really didn't add to anything, I felt, the build-up. So that's the disappointing part. As far as the match itself is concerned, I really don't know what kind of shape The Undertaker is in. Last year, he and Triple H, that match was fantastic, but that was mostly about the story. You know, I remember we all talked about this last year. Shawn Michaels added a lot to that match as well, and everything clicked. And it had been building up, you know, year after year, first with Shawn and The Undertaker a couple of years in a row, and then Triple H and The Undertaker, and then the rematch. So it was everything, it came into, you know, it came full circle. Whereas here, it's fresh. The build-up didn't really do anything. So I feel they have to maybe work extra hard to reach that. Well, they're never going to reach the level that The Undertaker and Triple H reached last year. I mean, I hope to be proven wrong. But I feel because the build-up isn't that great, the match would need to be something extra special. I have no doubt that CM Punk will work his ass off. I don't know what kind of shape The Undertaker is. And I mean, even their B games are going to be enough to put on a good match. But I don't know what kind of chemistry they possess. I mean, I don't know how mobile The Undertaker is right now. I truly don't know what kind of match to expect, but I'm sure it would be good to an extent. But the thing is, if The Rock and Cena is just a good match, but not, you know, the WrestleMania main event that everybody's going to be expecting, and if this match is, again, good but not great, I think many people are going to come off feeling a bit disappointed because it's WrestleMania and because the two, you know, the main two matches weren't anything memorable. So I'm hoping CM Punk really busts out all the chops and turns it into a great, great match, and hoping The Undertaker is in good enough shape to go.
Larry, your thoughts on the build-up and what we can see from the match?
I haven't been very thrilled with the build. I think Punk almost comes off like he kind of doesn't give a fuck.
I got that feeling, and I hated this segment where he's flipping the urn, like, as you mentioned, a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yeah, when he's some sweet Georgia Brown in the background, baby.
God, that segment sucked, and I completely agree. CM Punk was just like, this kind of seems stupid, but this is what they want me to do, so I'm doing it. I hated that segment.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he got, like Steve Koch said, I'm sure he had a big fat chub knowing that he could fuck with people and use the Paul Bearer stuff, because that's the kind of dude he is. But yeah, I haven't really felt a lot of the build, man. I think, you know, the Paul Bearer stuff, like Samir said, it started out okay, and then it just like Monday night, man, is like they do the angle, and like I'm always a sucker when they bring out the Druids and try to like use Undertaker shit against them. And then you had like Paul Heyman dressed as Paul Bearer, and I'm like, we're kind of pushing it with that. And then, like, the beatdown's okay, and I have to admit, my favorite part was CM Punk going, come on, dead man, sit up, use your hocus pocus. I was dying at that, because that shit's funny. But, you know, then, like, you know, you undo the urn, and there's, hey, it's supposed to be his ashes and shit.
Chocolate
and
milk, like, mix.
Yeah, I'm like, poor oh, that's, people. That stuff is delicious, Captain Chocolate. But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I just felt kind of like it went off the air. I thought it was good for what they were trying to do, but it didn't feel like that big go-home WrestleMania angle. It wasn't Rock and Austin brawling with Jim Ross having an orgasm as the cameras go black or anything like that. It just, I was waiting for that whole show to wow me, because the 2 weeks leading up I thought were shit. And it, you know, it's like, this is the go-home show. This is supposed to be throwing everything at the wall to make people want to buy this show. And I don't think it did it. As far as the match goes, they've wrestled in the past. They have okay chemistry. I don't think they have great chemistry. Like, Punk and Cena work way better together. But it's WrestleMania. They'll have the crowd, you know, because it's a taker match at Mania, and everybody is into it, especially the big stadium thing. I think the key to having a successful match here is they have to have, like, it doesn't have to be a classic match. They need to have a really good match, but they need to have that one moment. They need to have that one moment where everybody thinks Taker's losing. And they've done that in the past years with Shawn. They did that with Triple H hitting the tombstone that year. That was a spectacular near fall. They did it last year with the super kick into the pedigree. You know, they had it in the Edge match. They had it in the Batista match. So, like, the last, like, 6 years, you've had these awesome matches, but you've also had that one part where everybody buys into it. For a moment. And, like, they all know that Taker's going to win. But there's that one moment that they're 5 years old again and they totally got fucking fooled. And that's what this is going to have. And I actually heard, I think it was, like, Brian Alvarez had a decent idea for a tease that was, you know, Punk's whole point is that he doesn't have to beat The Undertaker. He just has to make sure The Undertaker doesn't win to beat the streak. It doesn't, you know. And the one idea he ran for a tease was they need to have him do a big brawl up the ramp and then have, you know, Punk get back to the ring and have the referee counting. And the referee has to get to, like, 8 while Taker is still, like, a football field away from the ring.
Let's get you off. Didn't they do that in the first Shawn Michaels match? And I distinctly remember that because I actually fell for it. Shawn was in the ring and he was actually urging the ref to count.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as I was watching, I was like, is this how are they going to end the streak? And once the Undertaker was pretty far from the ring and he ends up making it back in time. And I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm stupid enough to fall for that. They were never going to make him lose that way. But in that moment, you buy it. So, yeah. You know, just good. But I was just trying to concur. Yeah.
But his idea, and I generally agree with this, is when you have this big arena atmosphere, and people are, like, generally those people are there to buy into stuff. If you do something like that and the ref gets to, like, 8 and he seems, like, really far away, you could do the lights go out. You can have, like, the urn appear somewhere on the staging. And then the lights come back on and Taker's back in the ring. Everybody pops. He hits a tombstone. You go home. So there is a lot you can do. I'm going to be really curious to see how they do it. And to Samir's point, I'm really curious to see just how mobile Taker is. Because, I mean, as Jeremy said, they waited. There was a lot of time that they weren't sure if he was going to work the match. And that doesn't always seem, yeah, that doesn't sound good. But again, it's his one match a year. You know, maybe he'll, you know, he'll shoot it up and he'll do whatever he does and he'll go out there and hit his crazy Undertaker dive and do his 20 minutes and then go home and bang Michelle McCool for the next year.
So. If he does that fucking dive, I think that's what Sammer was talking about where, you know, he did that dive and everyone thought this dude was dead.
Yeah, because the fucking cameraman didn't catch him.
Well, yeah,
Deuce.
Yeah.
Fucking Deuce from Deuce and Domino fame, you fucking douche.
Oh, yeah. Is that who it was? Was he the one who messed it up? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they brought him in because they were like, you know, you used to work for us and blah, 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 and, you know, we can count on you. And then you fucking almost kill The Undertaker. That's why you're never getting a job back. You almost killed The Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't want him doing that dive. I just got a feeling that he's going to do it. He's going to try it one time, and he's just not going to make it. And I'm not sure that's going to end too well.
I hope that they if anything, they can tease it.
Yeah, they can tease it, and then Punk jumps up and, like, kicks him in the face
or something. Kicks him in the head or something. Yeah, or chair shots him, something.
Yeah.
Because even if you tease it, the crowd's going to go apeshit because everybody expects it.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't really want him doing it, though. As far with me, my feelings on the angle, I thought it was fine the first week with the pallbearer stuff. I'm with Sammer. It just felt like overkill. I wasn't too impressed with – I told you I hated that segment where he was a Harlem Globetrotter. I wasn't too impressed with the go-home angle on Monday. My whole thing is CM Punk's, like, the urn, you know, he mentioned, like, this is how you got your power and your streak. Like, you know, you're 20-0 at WrestleMania with the urn. Like, has he used the urn these past couple years? Has it been around at WrestleMania?
It doesn't matter. They don't keep consistent with anything.
Well, obviously, but it's just, like, the urn hasn't mattered these past few years. Why am I supposed to, like, care about it now? And I understand, you know, it makes it more significant with Paul Bearer gone. You know, maybe this was the original plan, and because Paul Bearer passed away when he did, it makes it feel like a bigger deal. If this was the original plan and Paul Bearer is still around, this, I think we'd shit all over this idea, because I don't think it's that great. It just feels bigger because of the timing, and but it's still, it feels bigger, but at the same time it also feels like overkill. So what can you do? I think the match will be fine. I think CM Punk will work really hard. Undertaker, as both of you have said, it's his one match a year, so he can really just go all out and then go home and, as you said, Larry, bang Michelle McCool if he still has that in him. He can at least lay there.
Hey, she's pregnant. He had it in him at least once in the past year.
Well, there you go. So I think Undertaker will, he knows at this point, this is why when people were like, you know, Undertaker's got to wrestle at WrestleMania, it's not going to feel the same without him. You know, just have him go in there and he can just beat, I don't know, like Mark Henry or somebody. Like, you can't do that with The Undertaker anymore. After these past few years with the classics, with Edge and Batista and Michaels and Triple H, like, you can't have Undertaker go in there, choke slam, tombstone, match over. People expect another classic. That's why.
And the other thing I pointed out is, I think, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I think to a point that, you know, when you're a performer like that, and even though he's gotten older, in these past six Manias, he's had these great matches, and you get a fucking ego to the point that you don't want to go out there.
You know, Undertaker has an ego too.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to go out there and shit the bed.
Yeah.
And like, and everybody's like, well, why can't he wrestle this guy or that guy? The thing is like, Punk is that guy. I'm pretty sure that he looked at the roster and, you know, Jericho wasn't a full-time guy and stuff. Pretty sure he looked at the roster and went, who the fuck can I have a good match with now? And he sees CM Punk having all these great matches. He has great heat. He gives good interviews. And he was probably like, that fucker, that motherfucker right there. We're to go out there and do some special shit and make a fuckload of money in one night. So,
yeah, that's why, I mean, when people mentioned coming back, you know, they brought up an easy match for him. And like you, I didn't think there was any possible way they could do that. And then it was always, you know, what about Lesnar? What about Punk? You know, Punk definitely seemed like the better situation because Lesnar, you didn't want The Undertaker taking that beating, really. Because Lesnar's not going to take it easy just because I'm not sure he knows how at this point. Yeah, but with CM Punk, you know, he's going to work his style, but his style is also friendly for his opponent, and he'll get the best that he can out of The Undertaker. I think it'll be fine. I'm pretty sure we all agree that the streak continues.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
By the way, I need to break in here with something real quick. Samir Kahane, I see that you are leading Fact or Fiction. You are destroying young Frenchie Jonathan Butterfield.
Yep. I was actually waiting for us to square off on the final, and so if you do your part in the semis,
I worked on it. I worked hard. The only thing I think is going to screw me is like in our column there was a. I'll tell you what the statement was, and I don't know if it's going to hurt both of us. So I got to check the answers because why I posted it. Oh, see, yeah, I think I'm screwed. Because there was a question about Melvin Guillard and all of the bullshit going on. And it's not likely that he'll fight in this year. And I thought with all the legal problems, he might not fight this year. And then, of course, today they fucking announced he has a fight. Oh, what's this shit? Rella waited to the last fucking minute to get his shit in because he mentions that fight. See, I'm going to get screwed in this now. I'm telling you. That's not right. Because I turned in my answers, you know, before the fucking day they were due. Excuse me.
Who cares about this fact or fiction bullshit? Let's get back to
that. That's your get for not. No, hold on. First of all, Larry Zonka and I swearing off on the final is just as big as the WrestleMania main event.
Damn
I'll
right.
Tell you that. We're the two most popular figures in the MMA zone.
Brock Lesnar versus The Rock shit right there. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm calling you out, Larry. If you lose that semifinal, you're ducking me. That's
oh,
all.
Yeah.
Sammer's going to get a cut the week before. I'll tweet out that, you know, I'll tweet out I'm fighting in his place. I'm taking his place. And then it's just going to be a prank. And you're going to end up facing
somebody who's a newcomer to 4-1. Larry
will
just find
you're going to end up facing AJ Gray.
Not even people know AJ Gray.
Yeah,
Larry
true.
Would just look at his list of followers on Twitter. He's like, this dude, he's facing me. Somebody with a funny name, preferably.
that makes sense. Let's get back to wrestling. You geeks with your fact or fiction tournament. Brock Lesnar.
I was tricked into entering this tournament under the promise that Jeffrey Harris would be there and I could take him on and destroy him. But yeah, go ahead.
He pitched out as soon as you were announced.
Right. It's just like George St. Pierre, you know, announcing all his plans for UFC domination. Then the moment Aaron Silva is brought up, he's like, oh, I like it here at 170.
Jeff Harris pulled a Shogun Rua. He was afraid of Glover Teixeira over there in Canada.
Did you just equate me to Glover Teixeira? I'm offended, actually.
Glover Teixeira is my boy.
I bet Lambert's pissed right now. He wants to talk about wrestling.
No, I just said Glover Teixeira is my boy.
Oh, yeah, you sat next to him in the Bellator show.
Yeah, we're going to dinner soon.
Nice as well.
Good luck.
I'm not afraid of Glover Teixeira. I'll take him on in a burger challenge or something.
Yeah, well, but be wary because Joe Rogan says Teixeira has cardio for a day, so he can eat for probably 24 hours straight, dude.
That's true.
Like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Speaking of guys who have cardio, Brock Lesnar.
Right, I'm...
That's my
Does he really?
He went three rounds with Heath Herring. Come on now, it's good cardio.
All right, just continue with your poor segue.
Come on, you saw that primetime video with him and Kane. He was ready to go 18 rounds.
Right.
Until Kane punched him in the face and he was doing cartwheels. Brock Lesnar, Triple H. Brock Lesnar returned to destroy Vince McMahon. Well, first off, they fought at SummerSlam. And Triple H retired after the match, and no one cared. And now if he loses this match, he has to retire again, I guess. I don't care about this match. Does that make me a bad person? I love Shawn Michaels. Thank God for Shawn Michaels on Monday night. He saved this for me. I love him. I hate everybody else involved in this match.
I like Paul Heyman. I like Paul Heyman and Shawn Michaels, the two guys who aren't wrestling.
Yeah, so there you go. What have been your thoughts on this build-up, Sammer?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't care about this match. See, once they're actually in there and are going to wrestle, I'm probably going to be invested in it. Not rooting for any guy, but essentially what I'm trying to say is I'm going to care. But let's just say I didn't care about everything that went on before. And it's not snarky or anything. Again, I barely watched the product, but as I was... You know, doing my homework and watching one Raw after the other, I struggled to really get into their segments. I mean, I get what they're trying to do with Brock, with him being, you know, somebody who, you know, less talk, more action. He just wants to hurt people and whatever. And it makes sense. Even back, you know, during his WWE days initially, that's how he when he first, you know, burst onto the scene, that's the kind of guy he was. And then obviously with, you know, him becoming the UFC champion and everything, it would make sense to just give him that, bro. Plus, he was never super comfortable on the mic. Well, with the exception of that time he beat Frank Mir, but that was, you know, a different context. I don't know. Like you, I truly didn't just... Essentially, the thing is, neither Triple H nor Brock Lesnar have actually managed to make me want to see them fight. And the moment they're in there, I want to. I want to see a good old-fashioned brawl and whatever. And I'm sure they'll deliver to some extent. But it wasn't until I saw Shawn Michaels this week. That's the thing. Like, Shawn Michaels is one of these dudes who I think did a lot right in the tail end of his career in terms of just taking his retirement seriously to the point where every time he actually appears, you care. You know,
looking at you, Mick Foley.
Yeah, I mean, and pretty much any other professional wrestler, any other quote-unquote retired professional wrestler, because really that applies to all of them. But yeah, Shawn Michaels is one of those guys who's doing it right. And I think last year, you know, I just brought this up earlier, he added a lot to the match. You know, this year he's obviously not as involved, but he managed to make me care this past Monday. And it was a refreshing change of pace because usually he's the voice of reason telling Triple H either not to fight The Undertaker or you don't know what you're dealing with or whatever. But last week it was all like, you know, I'm rooting for you and I want you to destroy this dude and whatever. And I mean, that made sense. That's probably the only time I felt myself, well, you know, all right, I care about what's going on here. But everything that preceded it, even, you know, when their feud first started, with the moment Brock Lesnar debuted, I mean, I guess he kicked Cena's ass. But after that, even when he, you know, quote unquote, broke Triple H's arm with a really, really deep Kimura, I didn't really care. I actually never seen their SummerSlam match. Was that anything special?
It was good. It wasn't as good as the Cena match, but it was good. It wasn't great or anything, but it was good.
It was good. Right. The best part was Triple H looking like he was about to cry because he thought this was going to be his big send-off and, you know, people were going to care. And then they're chanting, "You tapped out" at him, and he looks so disappointed.
Samir, do you remember when like Angle and Benoit had the Royal Rumble match and it was awesome?
Right,
and Angle leaves and Benoit's in the ring and he slowly gets up and everybody just goes,
ovation.
That's what they were trying to recreate here. And he got up and he's holding his arm and he's and then all of a sudden you hear, you tapped out, and it got louder and then they had to cut away from it because they were chanting that. That was fucking hilarious because I knew exactly what they were going for. The other memorable part of the match was when Triple H actually attacked the itis. He went after Brock's itis. That was dirty pool.
Well, now it's fair game in this match because it's no holds barred.
See, that's the other... I'm glad you brought this up. When they first said, like, you know, any stipulation or whatever, I mean, I knew they were pretty much going to go with some sort of incarnation of a street fight, no holds barred. They're the same shit at the end of the day. I mean, that's always what they were going to go for. But in professional wrestling, once you're, you know, weighing in all the stipulation and then you announce, oh, you know, there are a multitude of possibilities and then it's like no holds barred and the crowd went...
It's weak. Eh.
It is, and the crowd didn't really care. If you had just announced it as no holds barred from the beginning, I thought it would have worked better. But because the crowd was there, they were hoping to hear something like, I know it's played out, but you know, Hell in the Cell or whatever. That was never. It didn't even make sense. I'm not saying I'm not. They needed the no holds barred thing. It makes sense, but once you're, you know, weighing in on all the different angles and you come up with that, it's like, you know. It's like there are these really, really hot chicks and this mildly attractive chick. And you're like, oh, by the way, you're sleeping with that. It's just, you know what I mean? You'd be like, well, fine, but, you know, I hope for better. Obviously, the no hold barred thing makes sense. And it's going to allow him, you know, it's going to allow them more room to work. It's not like it doesn't make sense for them to go out and put on a wrestling match. I think they're gonna do good. Actually, I like Triple H in brawls. He generally does well. Remember, like obviously he was, you know, in his prime back then. But the Mick Foley Street Fighter, the Royal Rumble, and then years later, well, actually it was a couple of years later, the Shawn Michaels thing at SummerSlam. That was a non-sanctioned match. That's what they called it, even though it had a ref and everything. But it was non-sanctioned. He does well in this sort of environment. I think Brock is going to do well as well. He, you know, everything he does looks rough anyway. And I actually expect this. I'm probably going to be wrong, but for some reason, I expect this to be the best match on the card. I think they're really, if they get it, they're obviously going to get enough time. I think they're really going to deliver because of the straight fight, whatever it is called, stipulation. I think they're going to deliver. Maybe Triple H will bust out some blood and everything because he seems like the only one who could actually do it. I really feel it's going to be a good old-fashioned brawl, and they're going to work well, and Triple H gets his revenge.
Larry, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I agree with a lot of what Samir said. And like you joked about it, and I joked about it in my recap that so the big stipulation is the guy that voluntarily retired after SummerSlam may have to retire if he loses again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're not exactly
$85, people.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're not exactly doing your best to sell it. I will say the one thing I will credit Triple H this year, and like everybody likes to bitch about things, but his promos this year have been much better in the fact that he hasn't gone out and done those 20-minute soliloquies on shit. He's gone out, he's cut a promo to the point and left, and it's been good. I've liked that. I have some hopes for it. I think they can do...
He's got talent to bury. He can't friggin' cut...
Yeah, he has Wade Barrett to kick in the balls, man. Yeah. But I was disappointed with the stipulation. They could have gone two ways. And like people were saying, like MMA fight, that would have been stupid, but it would have been nice if Heyman would have said, you know, Brock Lesnar's a fighter, and the only way you can win this match is by knockout or submission. At least make it a little different. Or, you know, I mean, I was actually really thinking that just because they were going balls to the wall and everything with Mania and trying to break records, I was waiting for Hell in a Cell again. Because people always pop for Hell in a Cell, and people want to say that they saw it. But, you know, we got the glorified street fight, so. As my friend Steve Cook says, it is what it is.
Oh, Larry, just a quick question here, a very technical question. I know it's stupid. Is there technically a difference between a street fight and a no-holds-barred match?
Not really, dude. It's like when you buy the 64-count color thing of crayons, and you ask for a blue, and if someone hands you something that says whatever blue, you pretty much have to accept it because it's the same thing.
Right.
I mean, there really isn't. It's just... It just depends on how you want to build stuff. Like, you know, whenever they do dark matches after Raw, like if they're in Chicago, they build it as like a Chicago street fight.
Right, right.
And,
yeah.
You know, street fights and stuff, that was just a way to get the city name over and stuff and make people feel important. So it's just, yeah.
Isn't it always what it is?
It is always what it is. We learned that today.
That's right. You know?
So...
Unless you're in the UFC, then nothing is what it is. It's the opposite
nothing
of what
is
they
what
tell
it
you.
Seems. That's right. Can't believe Dana White, man.
God, we're not getting started on that. Go ahead. Anyway.
Fallon yeah, Fox I mean, is not what it is.
Very true. But yeah, it's like I was a little disappointed in that, but the build's been fine. I think that since it is like, you know, no holds barred and shit, when you have all the smoke and mirrors, that, you know, that works well for a guy like Triple H and for Brock and everything. That's going to bode well. And, you know, I think everybody assumes that Triple H is going to win because, you know, Brock won already. And then everybody's like, well, see, they brought Shawn in, and that's the excuse Brock can lose because it'll be 2-on-1. But I made mention in my Raw report, and the fact is there has been a lot of talk over the past 6 months that Shawn is going to come back and work a match at Mania 30. And there's been rumors for a couple years that Triple H has always wanted his last match to be with Shawn. So Shawn being added in this late and his whole thing of, I got retired by a guy I knew respected me and I respected him. Maybe Shawn's there to put the bullet in his own friend. Fuck him over. Say he did it for, you know, his family and all that shit. And then they kind of revisit the non-sanctioned match next year at Mania 30.
I was about to say, it's got to be non-sanctioned because both these guys are retired. They're never allowed to wrestle again. How are they going to wrestle next year at WrestleMania 30? WWE cannot condone this.
Well, thankfully, Triple H knows the COO. I think he can pull some strings.
They can't condone it. They both retired. Shawn Michaels never supposed to wrestle after losing to The Undertaker. Triple H never supposed to wrestle after losing to Brock Lesnar. I will not buy the pay-per-view next year if Shawn Michaels and Triple H wrestle each other. I will illegally stream it.
So you act like you're buying it this year.
Actually, I'm going to my buddy's house and he's paying for it. So
okay.
Yeah, if you weren't, you would have totally bought it yourself with your own money. Legally.
Yeah. I always buy WrestleMania legally.
Right.
Just all those other pay-per-views, no.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why I said with your own money, though.
Oh. Well. Let's move on.
Exactly.
All right. This build-up, it sucked besides Shawn Michaels, at least to me. The match, I kind of agree with Sammer where I think it has the most potential to be the best because, as Larry said, with all the smoke and mirrors, you know what Brock Lesnar's going to do. You know what Triple H is going to do. They're probably going to use some blood. You know, the crowd's going to be into it for the most part. Shawn Michaels is going to be awesome. Paul Heyman is going to be awesome. They'll add to the match. So it should be a good match. I still think Triple H wins. I don't think they do the Triple H Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 30. And even if Triple H wins, they can still do Shawn Michaels Triple H or WrestleMania 30, and it's whatever. I mean, who's going to stop him, really? So I think Triple H, I think he has to get this win back. I'm sorry, I'm still that guy who's like, Triple H just can't allow Brock Lesnar to be too up on him. I'm that guy. Sorry.
Brock Lesnar should win because they re-signed him for another year and they want to do Brock versus Rock next year. I said should.
Yeah, I was about to say, Brock Lesnar should have beat John Cena, and that didn't happen.
Trust me, if I owned this fucking company, a lot of shit would be done differently.
I think Lesnar, well, I mean, he can lose and still beat somebody at SummerSlam. I don't know who. Maybe he beats John Cena at SummerSlam and they put the title on him, for all you know. But he'd have to lose like 100 times before they put the title on him. So that's a lot of losses coming up, and I don't think he has that many dates scheduled. So
why would he have to lose that many times before they put the title on him? Is that what they're doing?
That's how it works.
That's not the UFC.
Yeah, I was just about to say, in the UFC, you lose, you get a title shot.
No, this is Dolph Ziggler booking.
All right.
You lose 100 times before you get the title, and then we're just supposed to forget that you lost 100 times. Because you're the champion. What?
No, just go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, if Lesnar loses, they can make him look stronger, and again, by beating Cena, possibly putting the title on him, possibly setting up Rock and Brock next year at WrestleMania for the title between two guys who are going to work 15 dates a year, if that. I'm sure the full-timers will be really excited about that one.
No further comment.
All right, there you go. So wait, who do you have winning, Sammer?
I think Triple H gets his revenge.
Okay, and Larry?
I'm going to go outside the box and go with Lesnar.
All right, I'm going Triple H as well. So 2-1, you lose.
What, Jeremy? When you said Triple H has to get that win back, do you mean from a kayfabe perspective, or you know, Triple H him
from an ego perspective? Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's not just to clarify this, because it didn't make sense to me. Like, why would he have to? But then I was like, because he's Stephanie McMahon's husband. That's what you're.
Well, that's why I said, yeah, I'm that guy who believes that Triple H, he's still a dick, and that he just can't allow Lesnar to be too up on him. I believe
people
that
people stop being dicks. I don't think so. Anyway,
what
people don't just stop being a dick anyway. So
yeah, they do. Sure. They find Jesus, like Shawn Michaels.
He's just a religious dick, then.
Sure. Okay. World heavyweight title.
Yeah, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I just say he probably still is a dick. That came off worse than I intended for it to.
That's why I tried to move on.
Yeah.
World title match. Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger. Larry, give me a reason to care about this.
I would give you a reason to care, except for the fact that I just checked and I give zero fucks.
All right. Sounds good. Samer, have you kept up with this story?
Absolutely not. That's why I was glad you went to Larry first. I could just steal bits and pieces.
Okay, no, it's let me actually explain. I don't give any fucks because the crowd doesn't care. That they did that angle on Monday where they beat the living fuck out of Del Rio with a pair of crutches. And if you saw the picture of his back, that poor bastard. And the crowd absolutely went mild. They did not give a shit that the world champion, the big Latino babyface, got the shit beat out of him by a couple assholes who don't think he belongs in the country. They didn't care about any of it. The only aspect of this feud they care about is they like when Ricardo hobbles out and does the name so that they can sing along with him, and then they stop caring. So, I'm sorry, I like Swagger. I'm glad he's gotten a new lease on life. I like Del Rio well enough, but there is no heat for this match.
See, I don't care about Del Rio. I really don't care about him as a babyface. It was nice that they changed it up because he's been a heel since he came into the company, but he just feels so weak as a babyface. Swagger, I don't care about him with this whole America's American gimmick, like, whatever, dude. Sure. I'll go to Stephen Colbert if I want that kind of stuff. At least he makes me laugh. I think Dutch Mantel's been pretty good on the mic, so there's that.
Oh, yeah, Dutch has been great, but I mean, it's just... It's also, to me, the other thing is, I don't know, the angle doesn't feel like it fits in today's WWE. Because it's like they run certain kinds of things, and this feels like a 1980s gimmick that they've tried to place into this product. And it just, like, because you can tell nobody cares about it. Like, nobody really knows what to think. Nobody's offended, you know, and nobody, you know, nobody feels bad for Del Rio or anything. I honestly said when they started to feud, I was waiting for them to run the angle where they deport Ricardo Rodriguez for being an illegal. I'm surprised they didn't do that.
I think they should have deported Ricardo Rodriguez, and they should have, like, kept Alberto Del Rio out of the arena. They should have had Border Patrol keep him out of the arena.
There you go.
I think that would have been better, but I don't think people still would have cared. Who do you think wins, Larry?
It's a toss-up. I think had Swagger actually had heat going into Mania, that they would have been definitely going for a title switch. But I don't see it here. Plus, they're supposed to rematch at Extreme Rules anyway, so I think Del Rio retains.
I think so as well. Samer, do you have an opinion?
I'll go with the old-fashioned. The WWE won't pull off two title switches on the same pay-per-view, even though it's probably been proven to be wrong. But yeah, I'll go. Since I have seen a beating Rock, I think Del Rio retains.
All right. Fair enough. The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, against Sheamus, Randy Orton, Big Show. The consensus here is that Randy Orton is turning. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel that they're playing up the fact that he's being peacekeeper too much. I've said it for the past couple weeks. And if he turns, it also gives an excuse for them not to beat the Shield yet. I don't see any reason to beat the Shield yet. They've had two pay-per-view matches. They've been good pay-per-view matches. One was great, actually. And it's the biggest show of the year, and I think if you're going to be serious with some of these new guys, you got to give them a win. So, I mean, they can do the gimmick. Orton turns heel. He's the one that screws them. The Shield wins, and then go from there.
I'm with you. We talked about this, I think, on the Rumble podcast, where maybe they haven't booked the Shield 100% perfect, but they've still done an outstanding job with this group where you know, usually they're always willing to just cut the legs out from underneath guys like this, but they've kept them intact. They've kept them strong. And I see no reason to veer away from that right now. I'm fine with them winning. I mean, I hope they win. If Randy Orton turns, fine. I think he makes for a better heel. He seems really weak as a face right now. Yeah. Randy Orton Sheamus feud is fine with me. Sammer, you have thoughts?
I haven't kept up a lot, but even I like the Shields, and so I have to say, I mean, it's. I think, well, judging by the general consensus, it's one of the, you know, few positives in recent memory. What I've seen of them, I've really, actually, really liked. Mark Radulich and I were talking about this when I was doing the podcast with him yesterday, probably off the air, though, that he says they're part of the reason why he's buying WrestleMania. I wouldn't go that far in buying WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania, but I care about this match more than I should just because of the Shield. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the Shield's doing something right. They got Mark Radulich buying WrestleMania because of them, and Sam Riccati slightly caring.
Slightly caring, yeah. This is the faintest form of praise.
Well, hey, you're paying,
provide, but yeah.
You're paying more attention to the Shield than the world title match, so
yeah, absolutely.
That should say something.
That's exactly. I am paying more attention to the Shield more than the world title, so there you go.
All right, so I think we're all in agreement that the Shield should win, and hopefully they do win. Yeah. Larry, I know you love this feud. I love it as well. Ryback and Mark Henry. I don't know how good this match is going to be. I don't care. This feud has been awesome.
I've said it every time I talk about it. And like, people mock my recap because I give their segments high scores. Let me explain why. Mark Henry has been billed as the world's strongest man. He had an awesome run a year or so ago. Mark Henry goes out and fucking kills people. He doesn't fuck around. It isn't pretty. And he yells all kind of cool shit.
That's
looks
what
like
he does.
That's what I do. Okay, so that's what he does. Ryback is a guy that after they decided, you know, they had to use him as a main event guy and stuff, so it derailed some of his momentum. They want to get that back. So they say, okay, we're going to put one monster against another monster. So what they've done every week is they have these monstrous men kill up to three people at the same time. They have them talk shit to each other. They have them constantly trying to one-up each other. And they're finally going to clash Sunday. It is going to be the Clash of the Titans. And as long as it's kept short, Ryback's is the whole goal is to get Ryback over and get him like a big WrestleMania moment. Ryback goes in there, destroys Mark Henry. That's the goal of the feud. That's fine, because that's what they've been building to. There's nothing wrong with a simple build. I know that this isn't going to be Danielson versus Ziggler, okay? I get that, and I'm perfectly fine with it. As long as they don't go in there and fuck up everything they try, it'll be perfectly fine. Because the TV buildup has been perfectly fine. It's been clean, it's been simple, and it's been to the point. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. And that's what they did here.
It's been great. I usually hate the whole "you can't touch me" angle. But with this, it works so perfectly because...
Oh, okay. Monday night was funny, though, with Santino.
Yeah.
Fucking used him as a like a tackling dummy and beat the shit out of Mark Henry with him. That's great.
That was great. And as I was about
to
say, it usually sucks. But in this case, instead of like, you know, beating each other up, they're just like, oh, you killed one guy, I'll kill two. Oh, you killed two, I'll kill three. Oh, you killed three? I'll kill three at once. Or, you know, shit like that. It's fantastic. Yeah. So I think
it's a simple
great
story about guys trying to one-up each other and be the ultimate alpha male. It's timeless. It's a story everybody can understand. So
exactly. I'm with you. I don't know how good this match is going to be. I hope they keep it really short. I don't want it turning into Goldberg-Lesnar, and I don't think it will. Just because, you know, Goldberg-Lesnar, they kind of had to give that a little bit of time because of who they were. This, you don't really have to give it any time. As long as Ryback can lift Henry and he doesn't get dead-weighted like he did against Tensai, this should be fine. And I think Ryback wins.
And that's the other key. I think that they need to keep it clean and short. I think if anything, what you do is you go in there, you let Mark Henry run wild, hit the slam, 1-2, Ryback kicks out. And then, you know, he fucking basically hulks up, You go home. He hits his finish. 3 minutes tops.
Cameron, have you kept up with this feud? If not, you're missing out.
I've actually seen you tweet about it a couple of times, but nothing beyond that. So I'm basing my entire assessment of your tweets, which is to say, all of nothing really. And I'm not saying that to hurt you, but I really not even gonna fake my way through this one.
All right, fair enough. At least you're honest. What else do we have? Team Hell No, the greatest team to ever live. Against the biggest geek ever, Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. I love Team Hell No. I don't give a fuck about Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston just because of how they've been booked. At least they have AJ in their corner. Larry?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to care about Dolph these days. I mean, at least they kind of worked well enough to get him into a feud, to get him on the card and everything, but... You know, generally, I've ranted on the whole fucking Money in the Bank thing, Tabula Rosa. They're going to bulk him into oblivion. Then they're going to give him the title. And then they're going to go, wow, why isn't he over? Oh, that's right. We spent the last fucking 2 years making him look like shit. So, I'm sure it'll be okay. Possible title switch.
I hope not.
I hope not too, but... I think they're eventually going to want to break up Team Hell No. That's been the whole thing about it. So
that would be a shame.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, it's not going to be long, and I'm sure it'll be fine for the time given. So
I think it'll be good, actually, just because, you know, Kane, as we've talked about a bunch of times, rejuvenated with this tag team. Daniel Bryan, awesome. Dolph Ziggler, you know, people, I'm sure you get this a lot as well, Larry. Is people think that we're down on Dolph Ziggler because of, you know, how he's been booked. Dolph Ziggler is awesome. It's just he's booked like shit, so why should we care about this guy? But
yeah,
in
that's
the ring,
thing. I hate his booking.
Yeah, in the ring, he's great. And I think him and Daniel Bryan, they've had like 18 matches this past month. You know, they're good. They work well together. Big E Langston, I haven't seen much of him. I hope he's not in there too much. AJ will prance around. She'll be fine. I think it will be short, like you mentioned. I hope Team Hell No never loses and never breaks up.
Yeah, well, they're going to. So
they will.
Tamer, do you have any thoughts?
I mean, this was actually, I saw a couple of segments. I saw when it was announced and everything. I have to say, though, am I the only one who finds AJ obnoxious and not in the pro wrestling kind of heel way obnoxious? Just she's obnoxious. I can't stand her presence on screen. I'm sure Jeremy loves her, but
Jeremy, you know how I know you're gay?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm sure Jeremy hates me now, but this is more directed at Larry.
No, there's actually a lot of people that started not to like her when she started getting more TV time. So you're not the only one. So, and I think some of those people, I think, started hating her, though, just because it was the cool thing to hate her because everybody liked her. But I know there are people that are annoyed by her, so, I mean, it's nothing bad.
Oh, trust me, I'm not one of those people who are hating her just to be cool, because, as I said, like I wasn't keeping up, but as I was trying to catch up, I just caught, you know, the few segments she was in for the feud, and she struck me as extremely annoying. I had seen much of her. I obviously had seen her before with the whole Daniel Bryan and Kane thing and everything, and I was indifferent. But for this one, I don't know, she rubs me the wrong way, I guess. And Lambert now does not want to do podcasts with me anymore.
No, it's fine.
Come on, like you have a crush on 600 different women. It's fine if I don't like one of them.
Oh, I just said it's fine. What are you doing? Knock it off.
Oh, because it seemed like a sarcastic fine. All right.
I've had to narrow my list of crushes down recently.
To how many?
27.
What?
To 27,
yeah. Now, I've had to narrow that down. Sammy, you know why, so I'm not going to get into all that.
Wow, quite an effect, huh?
Yeah, Chris Jericho against Fandango, Michelle Beadle's favorite wrestler. I love Chris Jericho.
What the fuck is that? Well, I remember a couple of weeks ago I tweeted who the hell's Fandango, and then Larry kind of tweeted at me a video or whatever for me to find out. And
it probably showed you nothing.
It really did. I still don't know who the hell, after watching and after, even after catching up on everything, I still don't know who the fuck that is, really.
I don't understand why everybody is so fucking fascinated with Fandango.
Who is fascinated with him?
Oh, no. Apparently, I'm a big fucking hater because I don't like the guy. And I think it's... I'm sorry. Okay, listen. They've done a well enough job setting up this match, okay? But my point is, if you're going to use Chris Jericho on a WrestleMania to get a guy over, you should have used him with either Wade Barrett or Antonio Cesaro.
Those guys don't... What have they done? Who are they? Yeah. Never heard of them.
Because those guys have built-in stories. Barrett was Jericho's student on NXT, and the other story with Cesaro is Jericho could say, I've never won the U.S. title. I've won the world title, the WWE title. I've been Intercontinental Champion 9 times. I want to win the U.S. title. Boom! Fucking feud. Great match.
That would require them to give a fuck about those titles.
By the way, the cruelest joke in the fucking world was played by WWE today, where they posted a video of Antonio Cesaro's workout regime, which this guy is a fucking beast. But you know what they titled this video? Antonio Cesaro prepares for WrestleMania.
That dude doesn't have a match.
What, the fucking jerk off in his hotel room? Yeah, I know. What the fuck? That is like the cruelest fucking joke those assholes played. It's like,
He's probably got a cool match at like the fan access thing or something. Him and Santino will have...
Yeah, him and Kofi Kingston are going to tear up the fucking access, man. But yeah, it's just like everybody's fucking all enthralled with Fandango and, oh, he deserves a shot. He's been in developmental forever. You know what? I've seen Johnny Curtis matches. I'm not that impressed. And you know what? I don't even want to hear people, if they have a good match at Mania, going, see, I told you. You know why? Because at 36 years old, coming off of a heart attack, I'm pretty sure Chris Jericho could lead me through a good fucking match. Let's see what he does when he has to work the regular goof troop every Monday night, okay?
Yeah, I don't care about this match. Again, I love Chris Jericho. It's a shame he's stuck with this bullshit. Fandango's so stupid. Samer, what did you learn about
Fandango? I'm extremely disappointed because that's the thing. Chris Jericho is actually one of the very few that get me to pay attention. I love this guy. Always have, always will. So I am extremely disappointed that he's stuck in this bullshit feud. I really am. Like, I was so disappointed. Because one of the things I was looking forward to when I don't decide that I'm going to buy Mania. It's something I do every year. But one of the things I'm looking forward to is whatever Chris Jericho is involved in. And I was extremely disappointed. Honestly, from what I've seen, I wanted to care because it's Chris Jericho. But, you know, when I tweeted at Larry, like, who the fuck is Fandango? Yeah, part of that was, you know, legitimately wondering. But the other part, I thought, you know, I genuinely wanted to see the guy, see if I get me to be interested in this. And after trying hard and, well, relatively hard, I truly don't give a shit. I'm fine. I do care. I'm upset. That's the thing. I'm not indifferent. I'm just upset that Jericho is stuck in this.
And you know what the funny thing is like, this is Vince's fascination with being behind pop culture, like 5 or 6 years. Like, they brought in the Spirit Squad after, you know, Saturday Night Live used to do that shit with Will Ferrell because he thought it was funny. He had Paul Burchill being the pirate like 5 years after Pirates of the Caribbean debuted. Telling you now, WrestleMania 33, someone with a fucking Glee gimmick is going to main event. Just wait.
That would be awesome. Although, yeah, in 5 years, I probably wouldn't care because Glee will be off the air.
Exactly.
Not relevant.
I could just see Vince will be like, have you guys heard about this fucking Glee show? I was on Netflix. Jesus Christ. Why aren't we doing anything like this?
Yeah, I think Fandango wins. Whatever. Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. Whatever.
Let me say that I love Cameron and Naomi's little basketball cheerleader outfits. They look fantastic.
All right. I love the Bella Twins, so there's that.
Well, the Bella Twins are nice to look at, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, but I really like Cameron and Naomi. That's nice.
You got a little creepy there, Larry.
Yeah, I was just about to say, are you playing for your WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying, dude. They're good-looking ladies.
No, just that the way you said it, I really
yeah, like it. You got Steve Cook creepy like, right there.
It's a little bit of the creepy sick boys, honestly. Dude, trust me.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it was unintentional, but it sounded like, I asphyxiate myself. Well, yeah. All right, no, I'll stop there.
At least I'm not the only one who caught it.
Okay, well, at least I'm not talking about fucking asphyxiation there, David Carradine. Calm the hell down, okay?
All right. Fair enough.
Do we have just any thoughts on this match?
You had a ready-made excuse there. Blame it on the sick.
Do we have any thoughts on this match?
I don't.
It's going to be all the entrance, and then it's going to be like a 3-minute match.
Good.
Tons of Funk will win.
Fine. I want the Bellas to win. The pre-show. Wade Barrett against The Miz. These poor fuckers. These poor, poor guys. I guess they'll probably do a title switch, to be honest, and whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they'll probably do a title switch to be like, hey, look, WrestleMania is important. You need to order it. It's not.
Sure. yeah, there you go. That's WrestleMania. I guess we kind of already did. Well, we'll do it again. Sam, our best match, Lesnar, Triple H for you?
Yeah, if nothing else, because as I said, like I'm not quite sure about the kind of shape the Undertaker is going to be in, and I don't think Cena and The Rock will be anything spectacular. So yeah,
Larry, what do you think? Best match?
I'm honestly kind of leaning Lesnar Triple H, just because I think Triple H wants to have a better match than the first time, and they're going to have the advantage of all the smoke and mirrors. And it's just like, I almost want to say Punk and Taker because it's Mania and Taker does step up, but I'm just so unconvinced about his like potential, whatever condition he's in. I just don't know. And I saw Rock and Cena last year and it was good. It wasn't great, but I'm sure the crowd will make it good, but I just don't see it being like a classic WrestleMania match.
I'm going with the Undertaker and CM Punk, partly just to be different. But because I know CM Punk is going to be great, I think Paul Heyman will add a decent amount to the match. And I'm not going to doubt The Undertaker at WrestleMania at this point. I just think it's been proven over the past few years that this guy will go out there and nearly kill himself to have a great match. And I think he's willing to do the same thing again this year. So I think Undertaker, and I think the crowd will actually be into this match the most out of all three of the big matches. So I'm going with Undertaker and Punk.
You think he will do the dive? I really think he will.
I think, I don't know. I don't want him to. I think he will, but I think actually CM Punk will thwart the dive actually. So I guess no, I don't think he's actually going to do it. I think he'll set up for it, but CM Punk will kick him in the face or something.
It won't be the same without the dive. I really think he will.
Do you think he'll lock on the Go-Go Plata?
Yeah, I mean, because it's going to be a long ass.
I think that was too simple of a question. What MMA move is he going to steal this year? What MMA spot are they going to steal this year?
That's actually an interesting question. What MMA spot are they going to steal this year? Let me think. Looking for something. The entire St. Pierre and Diaz match.
Well, that's just like my prediction about this fight or this match being any good is dead wrong if that happens.
Right. CM Punk is going to roll for a knee. Undertaker is going to roll for a knee bar and CM Punk will have him scouted. And then the Undertaker will complain to Vince that, you know, this dude did something shady. Thought it was funny.
Camera in the urn, man. Right. Danny Camera in the urn.
CM Punk fucking missed weight too as well. Shadiness going on. A bunch of bullshit.
Was there a recent exotic submission that we had in MMA, Jeremy?
He's going to pull out a calf slicer.
That's what it's going to happen. It wasn't high profile or anything, but I think The Undertaker is a big enough fan to have seen it somehow. I think he'll deliberately look for it as part of his...
CM Punk's a big MMA fan too, so...
Right. Yeah.
I think they do a fair amount. I think there's more MMA in this match than there is in Lesnar and Triple H.
Yeah, I think The Undertaker is going to definitely pull on the Goga. But like, keep in mind, it's going to be a long match with a lot of near finishes, and they're going to both put on, like, you know, they're going to put on every single submission, not submission, finishing move they have. So at one point, yes, The Undertaker will lock in a Gogo Plata. I don't think it's going to be the only MMA moves he uses, though.
Here's the spot they steal. The spinning heel kick knockout.
Spinning heel kick knockout. Well, but I mean, that CM Punk will probably be the one doing
that. Well, yeah,
right?
CM Punk's throwing that, not The Undertaker.
Right, yeah, I was just about to ask. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I mean, Punk likes his kicks. He usually goes, like, head kick and stuff like that. I think he throws the spinning heel kick.
And Punk does steal spot. I remember he and Bryan Danielson had Daniel Bryan steal the Sonnen Silva spot last year.
Yeah, the knee in the corner.
Yeah. You don't know what I'm talking about, Jeremy?
No, I do.
That?
No, I do.
All right.
That's why I said CM Punk's a big MMA fan as well. That's why they're going to steal something in this match. You just know it.
CM Punk must have felt bad trying to mimic Chase Lines. He's like, yeah, I'm going to miss a spinning back elbow and look ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, too, is like, I remember I wrote about it and someone was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. It was just a spot. But the Undertaker Edge match, they totally did the Nick Diaz Gomi fight. Because Edge hits the spear at the end and then Taker hits the go-go gadget Plata for the win. Because the end of that fight, you know, Gomi goes for the takedown and gets fucking tapped. And of course, it was a no contest because Diaz is a big pothead.
I think the other spot they might steal is the crucifix position on the ground. And CM Punk is elbowing him in the face.
So Gary Goodrich style.
Either Gary Goodrich style or even like John Jones style.
Oh, you mean the mounted crucifix?
Yeah.
All right, the mounted crucifix.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they might do something like that as well.
Or hopefully maybe just like 3 minutes into the match, they just go batshit and do some Fratakiyama. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just about to say Brian San Vanderlei Silva, because that's the fight that stood out in recent memory when he asked me which fight are they going to mimic. That might be the one.
There was a recent pay-per-view I watched. I think it was a New Japan pay-per-view, but this one spot in the match, they totally clipped like 20 seconds of Fratakiyama and ripped it off. And it was awesome.
Jeremy and I were contemplating the possibility of pulling that off in a three. Remember in a triple threat match, we were like, "All right, Musashi, Gustafsson, and Vanderlei will wrap each other's hands around their heads and they just start punching each other in a circle."
Yeah,
it was quite the visual, I must say.
Yeah, that podcast is already up now. By the time this one goes up, hopefully, people have listened to it.
All right, people should just go listen to it for the 30 minutes of what Jeremy and I consider comedy.
Yeah, so if you don't think
it's funny, then I don't
blame
really
Dana White.
No, blame Dana White, sure. But we said it at the end of that podcast. If you don't like the first 30 minutes of the podcast with me and Sammer, I don't want you ever listening to our podcast again. We don't want your damn listenership.
All right, there, Dana White. We're really overhyping it. It was just Jeremy and I
it
having
it was awesome.
It was probably all minute.
It's not costing you a dime, Dick.
Dickhead.
Dickhead, I'm sorry. Damn it.
I actually replied to him.
I know, I saw that. That's the only reason I knew what, because I clicked on view the conversation. Otherwise, I would have never seen that tweet.
I was hoping he'd call me in some sort of
call you a name? That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
The best part, I don't know if you saw this one or if Larry did, is Dana tweets like, you know, watch the Ultimate Fighter tonight. Two of the best fights. Have I steered you wrong this year?
Like,
and then
dude,
I retweeted. I was like, you never steer us wrong, Dana.
I haven't lied to you in the last 8 hours.
Yeah.
Watch the show.
I love how Dana says this year. This year is only 4 months old. So it's like, have I ever lied to you in the past 4 months? Well, thank you, Dana.
He was talking about the Ultimate Fighter seasons. Like, have I lied to you at all this season? Is what you know, with the Ultimate Fighter.
It's essentially him owning up to the fact that in every season he says, oh, this is the craziest season, dude. You got to watch this season. And it's great. And he's like, well, you see, but this season I meant it.
Yeah. But still don't believe any other bullshit I tell you.
Well, he doesn't have to say that. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So that's WrestleMania. I guess we'll end with buy rate predictions, Sammer.
What was last year's buy rate, though?
Just it was so like that one. It was just under 1.3. It's officially 1.27 was last year.
I don't think it does as well.
You don't think it does at least 1.27?
No, I think last year it had the novelty of a Rock Cena match. I don't think that's quite there this year. I think they'll fall slightly short of last year's buy rate.
All right, Larry?
I've been over this a couple times, and I've been good on my recent buy rate predictions. I predicted 500,000 for the Royal Rumble, and they did like 497.
So I went over. You lost on Price is Right.
Well, we ain't playing Price is Right rules here, bitch. This is Larry's house. But I've been back and forth on this a lot. They're in a major market. They're doing tons of media. Rock is doing a lot of media. They're doing tons of social media stuff. And that has paid off for them. And then I sit there and I go, yeah, but like two of the main matches are rematches. But then again, I look at it, it's like, but it's Rock and Brock Lesnar involved. I'm going 1.25.
I think they beat last year's buy rate. I think they do 1.3, 1.4, maybe as high as 1.5 if all goes well.
Wow.
I think
it's possible. I'm not sure. It's so hard to pick, honestly, but yeah.
I mean, The Rock right now, he's number one. He's starring in the biggest movie in the world right now. If you watch the NCAA tournament, like, this dude was everywhere. The NCAA tournament.
Yep.
You know, it is a rematch, whatever. Brock Lesnar, I still think he means something. The Undertaker, considering, you know, he only wrestles once a year. They have three big matches this year. They only really had two big matches last year. And I do think that last year's Rock Cena was bigger than this year's. But I don't know. I think, as you said, major market, just the amount that is into it, I think this has the potential. I think it does beat last year's.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, it's really funny. I always have to laugh at a lot of the comment people because they're like, oh, rematch of Mania. Nobody's going to buy this shit. And listen, as much as I think the build on TV hasn't been good TV in a lot of ways, and as much as they booked guys into oblivion, as much as guys are losing when they shouldn't lose, the fact is that they have made WrestleMania its own brand. How many times you guys even said it? Samir, you said, oh, I always buy Mania. There are so many people that only buy Mania. And they buy it out of habit, and they buy it because they watch it with their friends. Mania is an event. And I do laugh at all these people that are like, oh, I'm not paying $70 for that shit. I'll stream it. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But the fact is, it's not like there is a giant outcry of people that hate the product and the rating has dropped under a 2 or anything like that. If that was the case, then we could talk about it. They have all this media presence. Jeremy, you brought up the point I forgot. You know, The Rock is in the number one movie in the world right now. He's everywhere on TV. You have a guy like Brock Lesnar being there. You have people that watch for The Undertaker and Triple H and these guys. It's going to do over a million, no doubt. And if it does over what last year did, I won't be surprised at all.
They got WrestleMania week on Beatlemania, the show. Watch that show, Larry?
I try to. I DVR it a lot. I don't always get to it.
It's actually really good. It was kind of slow the first week or so, but then I think Beatle and her co-host really hit a chemistry stride, and I think it's a really good 30-minute show. So it's WrestleMania week on the crossover. I don't know how much that's going to help, but it doesn't hurt, obviously.
No, it doesn't hurt at all. And like, I've been doing nothing but posting like videos of appearances and links to interviews. I mean, they're fucking hitting it hard this year on the push. So if it breaks last year's and sets the all-time record, I'm not going to be shocked at all. I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of reasons why it can and probably will. And I also think that there are a segment of people. I think that a lot of people may opt, you know, to watch with other people or go to a bar or something instead of buying because of the rematch thing. I know it does bother some people. Is it going to be enough to make a major difference? We'll find out in a month or so when we get the first estimate. But they're going to do, If they did under 1.2 million buys, I'd be shocked. Okay, yeah. That's the thing. I would be shocked. I think they're going to do 1.25. That's the prediction I'll stick with. And if they do over that, I will not be shocked at all.
It breaks a million easy, and I'm with you. I think it should do at least 1.2. Again, I think it beats last year's. We'll see. Sammer, you think it falls just short of last year as well?
Yeah, I think it falls just short. But I agree with a lot of what Larry's saying. Hell, my parents are ordering this show, and they didn't even order it last year.
See, so. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like Mania is such – for all the things you can bitch about that WWE has done wrong with their product, the thing you cannot dispute is how they have made WrestleMania into this fucking juggernaut of a brand. And it's just like everybody talks about it, and so many people are going to make money this year. Because last night I did a podcast with my guys from PW Ponderings, and we previewed all the major shows that aren't WrestleMania shows that are happening this weekend in New York. And there's a ton of awesome shit going on. But like Dragon Gate and Shimmer and Chikara, they're all setting attendance records this weekend.
You know who's not going to make money this weekend? Extreme Rising.
Because they're fucking stupid. They turned down an invitation to be part of WrestleCon.
We're not talking about them.
I know, but I'm just saying. They're stupid.
No, I know. I mean,
plus,
I brought it
nobody
up.
Nobody gives a shit about ECW.
Exactly. I actually watched on Netflix, I watched like ECW, like the Hits Volume 1 or something. Because I mean, I still like ECW, the old school stuff. But I tweeted out while I was watching this, I got this great idea. Let's start a promotion that's just an ECW ripoff with all the old ECW guys. Because that's been proven to work and not completely blow up and fail. Stupid people who try to recapture this ECW shit, especially with the same ECW guys. Like, it failed once with these guys. Why is it going to work again?
Is Sabu there?
Yes.
I think he was supposed to be on that Extreme Rising.
He's going to work a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show now because he needed a booking since Extreme Rising canceled their three shows.
That's the match I just watched, too. Sabu against Taz. It was a good match.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going to make a lot of money this weekend. And that's because of Mania and what it's been built up to be. So.
Well, that's good. Good for all those companies just trying to get by.
And there's a lot of awesome shit this weekend. It's going to take me 2 weeks to watch it all and write about it, but it'll be good.
UFC on Fuel. We didn't know that.
Invicta.
That
one
too.
FC.
They I think Invicta and one FC will be better than UFC on Fuel.
If Invicta's stream works this time.
That's true. I don't know about all that, but yeah.
I bet you when Invicta released their rating numbers, they're gonna eclipse whatever number WrestleMania did.
It's 9 million viewers.
Dude, have you ever checked out their bullshit numbers?
Yeah,
I haven't. I don't pay
attention. I think they count every click as a different view. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's further bullshit than that. But that's the main flaw in the way they count their views. And the numbers are insane. There's no way they're true. But yeah,
I would say if they were true, I don't think they'd be running internet pay per view still.
Well, no.
On streams that don't work.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is running internet pay-per-view is way more profitable than running traditional pay-per-view. So for them, it's a smarter move.
I don't trust any MMA company to run any type of pay-per-view, even the UFC at this point.
Yeah. Well, only the UFC.
Yeah, but
I'll at least ensure that I'll watch the pay-per-view, unless it's on Xbox 360, then I don't. Remember that whole thing? They were providing pay-per-views on Xbox Live or something, and there were a ton of problems.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a failed experiment.
All right, so that's WrestleMania. Larry, go ahead and a lot of WrestleMania stuff on 411 Mania this week. Go ahead and plug.
Yeah, let me bring up the Collins page here, dude. Yeah, we have every year we kind of do the countdown to WrestleMania columns, and here we go. Let's see, we got this year we have like the top 10 WrestleMania main events of all time. We have a column called the Storytelling Report Card on WrestleMania, breaking down all the feuds. We had a column up today, which was 10 reasons for a possible Cena heel turn, which was trying to make a logical reason why you would want to turn him heel, and it was actually really good. Today, there's the top 10 WrestleMania matches of the 2000s, and then the top 5 column talks about basically the best WrestleMania matches. Fact or Fiction Wrestling is like all WrestleMania themed. Over the weekend, we're going to have 2 columns that break down all the matches for Rock and Cena at WrestleMania in their careers. Let's see, we have this podcast. I did a WrestleCon podcast last night talking about all the non-WWE stuff. If I have a voice, I'll be doing a show Friday with Tony and Steve, probably do a little more Mania build. Sunday night after WrestleMania, I'm doing the live call-in show.
I'm going to call in. I'll be driving home from my buddy's house.
Damn right. So anybody will be able to call in on the show. The link will be on the site. Share your thoughts on Mania, best and worst match. Tell me where you watched it. I always like when people go to a bar or something or a party and watch, just to hear like fan reaction and stuff. I think that's fascinating. So I'll be doing that Sunday night, and I should be alive Monday, and that'll be okay.
We hope so.
I hope so.
Tamer, you have nothing to plug.
I have a lot to plug. This has been the busiest week since I've returned to 411.
That's true. You've been everywhere this week. Go ahead.
Right. Well, first of all, make sure you listen to the podcast with me and Jeremy previewing UFC on Fuel, which we've already overhyped tremendously, because I also plugged on the other podcast I did yesterday. And as funny as it was, I don't think it's as good as we're making it out to be, but just listen to it and see for yourself. Right. You know, disingenuous marketing. We're previewing MMA after all. That's kind of the UFC's model anyway. Then last night, Sean Comer and Mark Radulich were kind enough to have me on Long Road to Ruin. We reviewed the 2 Batman movies during the Burton years, which are Batman and Batman Returns. It was a lot of fun. You guys should listen to that. We kind of discussed Batman on the whole, not just those movies, but you know, obviously they were the 2 focal points. Then there's this podcast, obviously, which if you're listening to, then you already listened to, so no need to plug. And there's a column with Jeremy, which, you know, we wrote 2 columns this week, but only one of them was actually going to appear, because the other one is utterly useless, because we just used it to discuss the possibility of Gustafsson getting a title shot. But then as we were about to finish it, news broke through that he was officially out of the fight. So Jeremy and I, being the immature, bitter people that we are, we just proceeded to bury Zuffa in our column.
Damn right.
I had fun writing that one, though, just because, as you said, fuck Zuffa and the cunt that runs it.
Wow, yeah, that was my drunken tweet to Jeremy.
Yeah, so there you go. This podcast, listen to the one with Sammer, please. Just make us feel good. And I'm going to do it again this year. I did it last year where I broke down the WrestleMania matches, the big matches. I don't give a fuck about those shitty matches. As if they were real and MMA fights. A lot of people seem to like that last year. So
how can Triple H beat Brock Lesnar then?
He's got to attack the midsection.
Attack the itis.
Yeah. You know, Brock, he's afraid to get hit still. I don't know if, you know, that hasn't really been proven. So
sledgehammer time then.
Yeah. You know, it's no holds barred. So, yeah, break out the sledgehammer, yeah, do what you got to do. Triple H is fighting for his career as well. I mean, that should make him, you know, be a little more aggressive and whatnot.
Well, the other thing is, too, is what Triple H has to remember is with Brock still recovering from the itis, he's still hurt. Triple H, obviously, a veteran of the game here, so to speak. I think he needs to try to work his distance, stay on the outside, take it into the championship rounds, because that's where Lesnar's little... what happened against Cena. Cena took him to the championship rounds.
He's got the advantage this year as opposed to the SummerSlam match. He has Shawn Michaels in his corner. You know, I think Shawn Michaels is one of the better corner men in wrestling. So and they at least know each other. They got that like Miletic Hughes kind of bond. So I think that'll work for him as well.
And thank God he got rid of BJ Penn's corner from the first fight. Right. You're doing great, Triple H. You're doing great. Take that fucker out. Yeah.
That's right. So there you go. I'm going
to
do that again.
I think what you need to do to make it even more realistic, Jeremy, is discuss the possibility of John Cena getting released. Loses. It's like 2-0. You know, and Vince McMahon would be like, John Cena showed me in this fight that he doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't want it anymore. You know, if The Rock is beating you up and it's you know. It's,
I can
it's
do – this would actually work term. Better – this would work better with CM Punk because he'd be 0-3 on pay-per-view this year if he loses this match.
Yes,
you can't well, have that.
So he's on the his career is just sliding. It's
he
not,
was the
it's
champion.
Not, it's not moving up.
Yeah, he was the champion, and now he's going down. He costs too much fucking money as well.
He's you like know, the Rashawn Evans of the WWE.
Yeah, CM Punk is fucking expensive.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then you mentioned that he was ranked number one just a few months ago, and now he's ranked at like what 6 or 7?
Yeah. Who the fuck ranked him number? He's a fucking number 9. Jesus Christ, downslide of his career. Right. You want to be a fucking fighter? Too many fucking fighters. Cut them all. The hell.
That's right. So I'm going to do that again. That was fun last year.
Well, you need to do that. That's fun.
All right. Well, I will. I just said I was. Knock it off.
Good.
But fucker. Two people enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, you too. You retweeted it last
did
year.
Did it. I was referring to you and Lara. I never said I enjoyed it.
You said you liked it last year.
Did I?
Yeah.
I
think your exact quote was something like, I usually hate what Jeremy writes, but this is actually fantastic.
Oh.
It was something like that.
No. It was, I'll give you that. Now, when it comes to humor, you do provide. You come through. I'll admit. So, yeah.
All right.
So, Mayor, I'm going to tell you right now, before you do anything when we're done with this show, go to 411 and vote for me in Fact or Fiction to call them up. Because I called you out, son.
I'll vote for you as well. The only other time I voted in Fact or Fiction was Sammer whenever he – I don't remember even who he was going against, but I voted for him. Just out of
it doesn't matter.
You voted for me. Wow, I'm actually
– That's the only time – that's the only – only when you write Sammer is the only time I even click the Fact or Fiction link, and I don't even read it. I just go down and vote for you.
It's hilarious that the boss is just shamelessly asking us to just vote for him. But I was planning on doing that anyway. I'm let's face it, Larry and I in the finals. What the people want to see, and you know, it's a super fight year, right?
The only thing that's gonna suck is if we do make the match, it's gonna be like fucking Chael Sonnen and John Jones. I'm just gonna be talking a bunch of shit until you obliterate me. But I mean, it's all right.
I'll try to take it. Yeah, it's exactly what it's gonna be like. You're gonna take purple shot, but see, it might work. I mean, really, maybe people will vote for you because of that.
Jeremy, you notice he wasn't like you and like, no, Larry, you know more MMA than I thought you would. He's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking crush you. But I mean, you know, that's okay. Thanks.
Words of hype. Come on.
This is what I deal with almost every week, Larry. It's just, Sammer just downgrades my opinion and then takes over.
Oh, come on now. But Larry, I'm sure you'll be fine. You'll have the what's his name? The Jeffrey Harris propaganda campaign just backing you up.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeff will come in and go, Zonka wins because I don't like Samir. He's mean.
He was like the other day, not the one against Butterfield, the one before, I don't remember who it was against. It was maybe against Dan Plunkett. He was like, Dan Plunkett wins this one because Samir misspelled Keith Kaiser's name. I'm like,
oh, Christ,
really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That was fantastic.
All right, so a lot of stuff on 411 Mania, on Man Cave Thoughts. Sammer, I don't know if we did a WrestleMania review last year. I feel like we did. I feel like we need to do it again this year. So we'll schedule that. Also, Sammer and I are going to review that shitty UFC card and preview a shitty UFC card. So
yes.
That as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
What
Take
shitty?
Care,
all right, you'll tell me.
Oh, Ultimate Fighter.
Is this the Katsangano mission?
Yeah, yeah. And Faber Jorgensen. We talked about this. You already forgot, but that's okay. You'll forget again.
Yeah. Larry probably doesn't know that I'm almost never aware of what fights we're breaking down until pretty much.
That's what makes you so great time. Because I can just throw out a random fight that you have no clue is actually taking place, and then you can still talk about it for about 20 minutes.
Like Vanderlei Silva and Musashi.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, turns out Matt, I still want to take the fight. I was like, okay, fine. See, yeah. But that's at least two, you know, well-known fighters. You can still improvise. But sometimes, Jeremy, we deliberately hold off. He deliberately hold off on just telling me what fights are in, and I'm too lazy to just research. So I go on the air. Usually I'm just aware of the main event, but everything else is just, you know. And he starts making me guess. I'm supposed to take these guesses to try. Remember the CB Dalloway thing? That was hilarious. That was
the best one. All right. But yeah, so we got the show to review, show to preview, WrestleMania review next week. Another busy week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Take care.
The end.